Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
I'd like to say something.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin 4 miles.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
God, there was 1 week when you wore sweatpants every day.
Oh, you know what? If they were Sean John sweatpants, it would have been fine. But because they're Costco brand, it's like the worst thing I could do.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan. We're going to get back into the Houston Astro thing. We're going to talk with the Ducks baseball coach, Mark Wazakowski. They'll start their season tomorrow. They're down in Tempe for a tournament, as the college teams do. They, especially here in the Northwest, Oregon State usually almost always start their season like the first month or 2 months is in Arizona.
You got to go down south this time of year.
So we'll talk with him for the first time coming up at the bottom of the hour. Real quick before we get back into the Astros, I want you guys to know if you're one of the husbands or boyfriends that forgot to make a reservation for Valentine's Day, don't worry. Laurelhurst Market is holding two reservations for 1080 The Fan, and we are giving you a chance to win them. Ooh. One is at 6:30 p.m. and the other is at 8:30 p.m. Both reservations are at Laurelhurst Market for two people, and both are on Valentine's Day, Friday, February 14th, tomorrow. If you forgot Valentine's Day and you need a table at Laurelhurst Market, text The Fan text line at 55305 for the 6:30 reservation. Text dumbass 6:30. That's DUMBASS 630. And for the 8:30 reservation, text dumbass 830. DUMBASS 830 to the Fan text line 55305. Message and data rates may apply. Good luck to everybody.
Good luck. I know there's a lot of people that put it off for the last minute.
Go text that in, because I'm telling you, the wife and I have been to a few dinners at Laurelhurst. It is one of the top spots in the city to have a great meal. And, oh, by the way, you can go and buy some quality butchered meat right at the front of the
shop. Dude, while you're there, you double up on your meat purchase.
It's perfect. Okay, let's dive back into the Astros. Look, I keep seeing these Houston media members and just the stance. It's laughable to me.
Yeah, it's bad.
This is what we do in society, in any topic. It doesn't have to just stick to sports. This goes in everything. What we do with the guilty is the guilty then go, oh, just us, huh? What about them? And what about that other time?
Right.
We're not talking about that. This is specifically involving the Houston Astros. Did they cheat? Yes. Are there players openly admitting that they cheated? Yes. So why is there really no punishment for this team outside of having a GM and a coach fired?
It doesn't make any sense. I think this was a really bad day for the Astros, especially the players and the owner. You know, Dusty Baker had nothing to do with this. They unfortunately dragged him out and made him be a part of the press conference. He wasn't around the team when it took place. It's a tough spot for him to be in. But Jim Crane's fake apology, Bregman and Altuve being the two players that go up and talk in front of the media at this press conference, it was a really bad look for all of them. But I think the person with the most egg on their face right now is honestly Rob Manfred, in the fact that they weren't more aggressive in going after stricter punishments for guys. You know, a year suspension for the GM and the manager clearly wasn't enough, because the Astros followed through with firing them. And I get that there's all sorts of hoops you got to jump through when it comes to punishing players through the players union. But if you take a poll around Major League Baseball right now, how do you think the Dodger players would be upset if the Astro players got suspended? Do you think Yankee players would be upset if the Astro players got suspended, or Mariner players or Ranger players who got to play them 18 times a year, half of which are in Houston and they're banging on trash cans to hit home runs off of you? I get that there's hoops and it's a tricky situation, but Major League Baseball came out with the stance of, here is, we're going to hit them with the heaviest fine we can. We're going to take away draft picks. We're going to suspend guys for a year. And they seem to think that should be enough to make this story go away. There's your heavy punishment. Everybody's going to forget about it. It's still football season. Out of sight, out of mind. We'll see you in spring training. Clearly has not happened. And watching the players fake apologize today, it was another twist of the knife of, like, how are they getting off of this?
Yeah.
How are they getting away with this without serving any form of punishment? And it's just really frustrating as a baseball fan.
Just, the whole players union fear of, well, they'll fight back. I think that's absolute BS. I think a vast majority of players are pretty pissed that this team clearly got away with something. Won the pinnacle of sports, right? You always fight and play for a championship. I'm not telling you every game was won by cheating. That would be stupid. But to act like they didn't have a competitive advantage and they didn't reap the benefits of it.
Why are you doing it? It's right. The dumbest argument of all time.
Exactly.
Imagine a steroid user using that argument. Hey, Barry Bonds, did steroids give you an advantage? No. Really?
What? And you know what you get is you get the back and forth that Jim Crane had with the reporter today where she goes, well, if you're saying it didn't impact wins, why are you apologizing? And what does he do? Because we broke the rules. How did you break the rules, Jim?
Right.
You cheated.
Why is it against the rules? Because it's cheating. Right. It gives you a competitive advantage.
It gives you an advantage.
Knowing what pitch is coming is a huge advantage to have.
There's several thoughts, I think, on proper punishment. I'm with you. Like, Rob Manfred, grow a spine, bud. Like, just come out. You
go
care about steroids. You care about this. You care about that. How about you care about the biggest scandal in your league's one of the bigger scandals you've had in quite some time.
It really is. Since probably when the steroid stuff really exploded in the late 90s, early 2000s, this is the biggest one they've gone through since.
Well, and I hate to say this because I've enjoyed what my Braves are doing. I know your Giants have had success and you're going to watch either way. I'm not one that believes this is going to help baseball. It's a good thing. Your two biggest stories now in the 2000s are both huge scandals. Cheating. Those are your two biggest stories. You've had good stories along the way. But your two biggest stories are now both involving cheating.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you get the people that, you know, they try to take the morality part of this and cheating's just accepted in baseball and that's the big story. I hope baseball, the leagues, the rest of the teams aren't punished for this. But I'm not so certain that this is great for Major League Baseball just because we're talking about the sport. The other part of this, too, is, and a listener, I'll give credit for this at the fan text line. Basically, the one listener suggests, proper punishment would to be suspend the players for a year without pay and strip them of their championship. You don't have to give the title to anybody else.
No, you can't do that. That's playing God with sports. You can't pull that off.
You can't do that. But I would be A-okay if Manfred came out yesterday or tomorrow and said, we're taking the AL pennant and we're taking the World Series. And we'll always remember that. But it's like the Reggie Bush punishment. Technically, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, he won the Heisman. They didn't give the Heisman to anybody else. He was the winner of the award. They took it away from him. Same thing with the vacated national championship. USC was the national champs that year, but they don't count it, and they vacated it.
I guess when you have players openly admitting that this happened, I guess I'm just really left not understanding what's going on in New York where Rob Manfred's not responding to this.
I think the large...
It can't just be the players' union. There's something...
Yeah, I think that is a huge part of it.
But the players... Not union would back him.
You don't know. You don't know that because they're going to defend the players at all costs. And so, do you get into these litigation battles? Like it opens a whole nother can of worms that he clearly didn't want to go down. And the other part of it is along the punishment that you were just talking about, you don't want the champion to seem tainted. Like that's a big deal. It's one thing if this came out and it's a story about the Cincinnati Reds, right? Let's take Houston and Boston out of it and say this story was about the Cincinnati Reds. It's still a big deal, but at the end of the day, nobody's up in arms if the Reds aren't apologizing.
But
right?
If they won the World Series, I think they are.
But see, that's the issue is that they won, and so you're basically if you're going to take it away or have a stiffer punishment, you're saying that championship, that entire season. It doesn't count. You got to strike it from the records because the team cheated to win it. And you don't want to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
And he clearly thought that he could get out of just sweeping it under the rug and everybody would move on and forget. And it was a gross miscalculation. This has been bad PR 101 for Major League Baseball thinking here's a stiff punishment. People won't, you know, people will forget to the Astros today. And everybody's miscalculated it.
All right. I want to read some thoughts coming in at the fan text line at 55305. What would you do? How are you feeling as a sports fan about this? Are you disgusted with Major League Baseball on their lack of response to this, or do you think it was the proper punishment to get the GM and the coach fired and then just kind of move on from it? We'll read those thoughts and wrap up our thoughts on that coming up next on 1080 The Fan.
This is Dirt and Sprague, Gun 1080, The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Mark Wasikowski joining us at the bottom of the hour, the new Ducks baseball coach. Their season will start tomorrow and this weekend in Tempe.
Can I come into the studio and give one of you guys some sweet chin music real quick, please?
Who would you rather sweet chin music, me or Dirt?
My leg can probably only get up to Dirt's height. I don't know if I can reach your chin.
But what if your leg could do whatever you wanted it to do?
Oh, I'd give you sweet chin music straight to your face, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's free. Yeah, it's for sure me. Joe doesn't
not
like me.
Appreciating a height joke there.
No, it's a flexibility joke on my part. I'm not flexible.
Well,
okay?
It's also kind of a short joke.
If it makes you feel any better, I did get a package yesterday and I just left the box on Joe's desk.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
Well, the reason Joe would want to sweet chin music me is because me and Joe seem like we don't like each other on Twitter sometimes.
Sure, you guys go at it all the time.
Right. Like we had a back and forth where he was like, oh, my little pea brain doesn't understand. I thought, if somebody's reading this, they probably think me and Joe hate each other right now.
I'm not smart enough to get you, Sprague.
But maybe sweet chin music is Joe's way of saying, yeah, I don't like you.
I would do it to both of you if I had the choice. Let's be real. But, you know, come on.
Thanks, Joe. We
love
you.
If you could
too.
Do one wrestling move to somebody, would you pick sweet chin music? Because I think I would always still want to stunner somebody.
Yeah. Stunner DDT would be pretty fun.
I always DDT somebody. It's not that great.
I threaten people with stunners, so I think I would go with
like
that.
Like a legit stunner, though?
Yeah, like
people's elbow. Hey,
keep running your mouth. You're going to catch a stunner, you know?
Choke slam would be fun, though,
choke
too.
Slam's
choke
great.
Slam would be kick ass.
That's how I beat my kids up. I choke slam
just
them.
Just pick them up off the
pick
ground.
Pick them up. Slam them on the couch. You want some? You're 8. Get out of here. All right, we're talking Astros. I want to read a few thoughts real quick. Let's see. I haven't watched baseball in years. It's by far the biggest joke of all the sports leagues.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate that.
I could list 10 reasons why I stopped. This is number one, though, and all the unwritten rules and fun young players getting beamed, etc. Just dropped the... Okay, that one got broken up. But you see his point there. Let's say I hate how sports almost waits for the public to tell them what to do punishment-wise.
Oh, that's a different... Yeah, these texts are getting jumbled together.
Sorry, they're coming in hot and heavy, so we appreciate the thoughts. Somebody asking about... Okay, and I actually think this is worse than what Pete Rose did because not only did these come with a World Series title, they also affected other players' career, banned them. Somebody takes that stance. I'll read one more. I don't see it as cheating, but I'm sure I'm in the minority. Do a better job disguising. Teams will get better... Catcher should run to the pitcher every batter and say,
well, no, here's the, okay,
1, 2, 3,
okay,
then
on.
3, 2, 1.
Hold on.
Okay, all right.
Because that
sorry,
listener,
I'm just trying to retext.
No, that listener was, I had responded to him. He had texted in basically saying, let me see his initial one. He basically said, isn't it on teams to change signals? He said, I got to go to work, so I won't hear your answer. But isn't fastball always been one for 100 years? Why don't teams change their signal? Change them every inning. Change them every batter. Here's the issue is that teams do change their signals all the time. They constantly are changing them, especially if you ever get a whiff that a team is picking up on signals. And stealing signs has been around Major League Baseball for as long as the game has been around. And there are ways that you can cheat that nobody's going to care because it's on you. And that is when a catcher doesn't change his signals and you got a runner on second base. That runner's going to pick up what pitch is coming. He's going to do something to the hitter, you know, put my hand on my helmet or on my right knee, whatever the case may be, so they know it's a fastball or a breaking ball. That's on the pitcher and the catcher for not having a more complex system. There's no difference than when an NFL team doesn't change their audibles. If they use the same audibles every single week and a defending team picks up on it, they're of course going to use it and know what's coming. The difference here is, one, they used a camera in center field. So whenever you change signals, they would be able to follow along because they were filming every pitch. So if you change the sequence of your pitches and all of a sudden two is the pitch you go with and they know it's a breaking ball, they pick up on it immediately. So you can't do that. The other one is, you know, go out and talk to the pitcher. There's a limited number of mound visits you have now in baseball. They changed that rule, which I hate, but you only get 6 an entire game. So you can't go out and talk to the pitcher. And that was the big thing that was brought up by players when they changed that rule was, what about sign stealing? Because we like to visit the mound when we're giving a pitcher a breather. You want to visit the mound when you just want to figure out if a guy has anything left or if you need to change a pitcher. But also a predominance of mound visits are about changing signals between a catcher and a pitcher, and now you're limited on how often you could do that throughout the course of a game.
Somebody says, I love cheating. Ask my wife. Jeez.
Come on, people.
Come on. Get your head out of there.
Come
All right.
on.
Let me, okay, I have a kind of a deep question here.
Let's go deep.
Shouldn't the fans start taking more onus in these situations? I think locally, there's been some fan bases, whether it was OSU baseball and Luke Heimlich, or Oregon Duck football with the Willie Lyles thing years ago, or cue whatever example you want to use in sports. I'm tying in locally here. Mm-hmm. I feel like Houston Astro fan is absolutely going to enjoy being this villain. And the Houston Astro media is absolutely playing this up of, well, what about all the other cheaters? Huh? We're not the only ones. And that's going to be what they're going to run with because they want people to listen to their stuff. But the fans are going to give this team a standing ovation in their first home game. I am certain
without
of
a
it.
Doubt that. Yeah.
And
yeah.
they're going to play the us versus the world thing. At what point do we as fans, as sports fans,
It'll
start being honest about this
It'll
stuff?
It'll never happen,
like,
man.
People are really upset with the current climate of the country. Mm-hmm. I think a big part of this is that either side doesn't matter. You're never willing to admit fault or wrongdoing.
You stand up for your side.
You always fight for your own party. You fight for your own team. And it doesn't matter. Like, everybody wants to point the moral high ground and go, I would never accept my team doing it. And then their team does it. And what do? Well, it's us against the world. I don't know how you can be an Astros fan. I really don't. If this was the Blazers and they were caught doing something like this, cheating to get a championship, I know it's easy to say today because they're
very
not.
Very easy to say
I'm
today.
I'm telling you right now, though, man, when you have a scandal of this magnitude, you have to have some moral.
You would think.
But I'm not convinced. I think the Moda Center would probably do the same thing and give a standing ovation to the team and a middle finger to everybody else in the world. I don't know what this is. And we're probably never going to see the point where it switches, but...
No, it's tribalism. It's you're rooting for your team. And if it's anybody, if any other team does it, if
it's amazing not to see the hypocrisy, I guess, is my point. Like, fans love to be hypocrites.
You think you would be able to look in the mirror and realize to yourself that, man, if my team was doing this, I'd probably be a little more upset about it. Like if this was the Yankees doing this, how do you think Astro fans would be acting right now? Or how do you think Houston media members would be acting right now? If the Yankees, who beat them... maybe they didn't beat them.
Let's use the Dodgers. Let's say the Dodgers.
The Dodgers did it, and they beat them in the World Series, right? Like, they would be up in arms about this, but they don't care because it's their team.
But you know who I think would be up in arms about this? I think Swag would. I really think Swag would be disgusted with it.
You have the ability to see a positive in some things that I don't know if that positive exists in a lot of people.
It might not. It really might not.
I think
not.
The vast majority of people are... That this is the way we are wired. Our DNA is wired. The sick individual inside of me has laughed over the years because my support of Barry Bonds, I always acknowledge that he cheated, right? I never like turned a blind eye to the fact that the guy cheated and took steroids to break all the records that he broke. There's a lot of vitriol that gets spewed my way about steroid users and that guy's a scumbag and how could you ever blah, 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 blah. Over the years, I have taken a sick pleasure in watching people who have argued that with me about how big of a scumbag Barry Bonds is, then watch some of their favorite players take steroids and them not caring.
Mm-hmm.
It cracks me up. Like I've heard that from Mariner fan over the years. Who is the favorite Mariner of the last 5 years? Probably Nelson Cruz, right? Who served an 80-game suspension for steroids.
Boomstick.
I didn't hear any Mariner fans not carrying their boomsticks to the park anymore.
Hey, I loved him his one season with the Orioles. He was on fire.
Right?
Loved it.
Well, but I think to your point...
Turn a blind, when it's somebody else's player and somebody else's team, you love to jump down their throat of how could you do it. And then when he's on your team, you're like, dude, this guy's awesome. He's raking.
Well, and I don't want to change the topic here. And we got Mark Wazikowski going to join us here in a couple minutes. But like to your example, I'll use one for me. When the Heimlich story came out, you know, there's certain parts of the story I can kind of understand. Beaver fan going, well, what about this or that? But overall, for me, when I read it, I was kind of disgusted, and I put it out there. I was like, look, choose what you want to do individually, but I'll tell you right now, it's pretty gross for me personally. I don't ever get emails from listeners. I had like 7 emails that show.
How dare you?
I can't believe you call yourself an alum. It's like, really? Are you the same person that was texting in when Chip Kelly was the Duck coach and Willie Lyles did the dead kid thing and, oh, how dare them? And now it's just we always bend these moral feelings or these thoughts around our team. Oh, you cheated in Houston, huh? Mm-hmm. Oh, how dare you? You're disgusting. Your team cheated too. Well, hold on.
Everybody's cheating.
You bend your morality a little bit and... Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you I'm a perfect person by any stretch. I am a disaster. But I find the fan side of this very interesting. And it's like the Josh Hader thing. The dude got caught using blatant racist language. Mm-hmm. And Milwaukee gave him a standing ovation because he got killed a little
bit
on social media.
Yeah,
keep dropping the N-bomb. Yeah, Josh, good job. That's what you're doing when you cheer for that crap. You know that, right? You're right. I think it's probably always going to be this way.
Always going to be this way, man. I like the positive thinking, though.
When the Blazers win the championship in 35 years and I'm old and we found out they're cheated and I'm probably going to... Well, whatever. And I'm doing,
it's been 85 years.
I get fired from the fan, and I'm doing a show in OPB, and I'm like, congratulations to my favorite team, the Portland Trail Blazers. I'm sure somebody's going to text and go, Sprague, I remember 30 years ago. You wouldn't do that, and I'll be a hypocrite. But I'm walking my dog this morning. I'm looking on Twitter just to see what reaction is to the presser, and everybody outside of Houston is like a universal, this is embarrassingly stupid.
Yeah.
And Houston is specifically just sticking their ground and going, nope, no. Everybody else cheats. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to see here. No big deal. We kicked your ass in the World Series, Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Deal with it.
Bring it on.
And maybe that's, you know, there's ugly sides to fandom for everybody. But I think we've seen many where when it's your team, suddenly it's, well, you know, it's not the same. It's different. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just an idiot on a soapbox today.
Hey, stay positive, my friend. Stay positive.
I'd like to see them not cheer at all. I think it would be great if their first game, they actually got a little booze.
That's a good one.
I know.
You know they're going to get a standing
ovation.
They
are going to get a standing ovation.
I hope, like, is your thing about this not being good for baseball, I agree with you to a certain level. Like, you never want cheating to be the reason why people are talking about your sport. The reason, though, I think ultimately they could end up benefiting from it is that the first time the Astros play a major road game and it's on national television, are you going to watch?
Yeah.
The first time they go to Yankee Stadium or the first time they go to Fenway, I guess Boston cheated too, so I shouldn't use them in this example, but something along those lines, like you're going to watch to see what the fan reaction is like, the booing, how they're treated, the giveaways that opposing teams are going to get. Are they going to give away trash cans when they come to town? Mm-hmm. Like there are endless opportunities here. It's ugly that it's unfortunate that cheating is the reason you're in the news, but sometimes it can work for your advantage.
All right, let's pivot a little bit. We actually have another baseball topic to get to later on, and they changed a rule that Dirt is actually quite upset with, so it's more anger towards baseball today. But we're going to stick in the sport because we had an opportunity to interview the new Ducks head coach, Mark Wasikowski, and he's going to join us next as they're getting ready in Tempe for their big tournament. The new Ducks coach joins us next, but first, Joe with a sports update.
This is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. 1:34 on a Thursday. Thanks for being with us here on 1080, The Fan. Lots still to get to on the show. Get back into the Blazers a little bit. We got Joe's Plums coming up in the final hour. Some poll questions to answer. Tiger Woods is on the course right now, prowling. Lots still to get to, but exciting time here in the region. Oregon and Oregon State, their baseball season's getting underway, and joining us now to talk about Oregon baseball, Mark Wasikowski, their new head coach. And, Coach, thanks so much for joining us. Your season gets underway this week. You know, you were an assistant for a number of years at Oregon. You went and had a brief tenure at Purdue as a head coach, and then the job opens up. You come back. What was it about Oregon that made you want to come back?
Just love, absolutely love. My 5 years here, my family loved our 5 years here earlier in my career. Been to some awesome places, worked at some awesome institutions, and Oregon just was a place that I absolutely love. And so when the opportunity came up, it was a no-brainer.
Well, how much does it help, too, when you're taking over a head coaching job and you had a couple of years at Purdue, but now coming back to Oregon when you already have experience? You mentioned being there for 5 years. It was a good 5-year run for the program, going to regionals and super regionals. How much does it help just having that kind of institutional knowledge, I guess, of what a place works like?
I think a ton. You know, I mean, you're not feeling your way around a dark room looking for the light switch. You know, I mean, you know where the offices are of people. You know where to get things done. You know where the business office is. I mean, just little tiny things that can take a long time. You know the names of the people. You know who's, you know, a get things done people. You know, just the little things that really help somebody get through an organization to where they can be, you know, just get things done. I mean, let's just face it. And that's what we have to do. And year one is really, you know, establish a culture. We've got a lot of work to do in terms of, you know, just navigating our time and managing our time at the best we can. And so having that insight on, you know, how to work around the University of Oregon, I really think has been a huge asset so far.
Yeah, this is the coach, the new coach for the Oregon Ducks, Mark Wasikowski. Their season getting underway here on the home of the Oregon Ducks, 1080 The Fan and 910 Portland. You know, you talk about establishing that culture. I remember, Coach, when we had Mario Cristobal on when he first got hired, I'd asked about a timeline. You know, is there a certain amount of timeline here that you would say we need X years to get to a certain point? And he didn't want to do that. How do you feel about that? Is that not something you believe in as a coach?
No, I believe in it 100%. The timeline's today. I mean, the timeline is flat out today. And specifically, what are you doing right now to get better? Specifically in your office, you know, managing the hours we have in the day. I can't tell you how many days have ended where you just go, my God, it just went so fast. And so burning hours or wasting time is the enemy of us right now. We can't afford to do that. It really is helpful, like you referred to, knowing where to go and the people to talk to at Oregon, the previous experience. But still, it's time management. We really need to maximize all the hours that we get within the rules to met with our athletes for development. And in that, you know, so outside of the office with the team, time management, huge, huge component. And it's not really a year's thing for me. That's too broad.
Yeah.
I really want to nail right now, just today. And if we can just nail this thing with getting better today, I really feel like that's the mission.
When you got hired on, you just said that and it just struck me. When you got hired on, is that like something Oregon tells you guys? Because it's the belief that you and Cristobal share in that regard is very similar of, it's not about a year, it's not about a month, it's just about the day and getting out and succeeding in that day. The personality type of you coaches down there and Eugene seems to be kind of clicking.
Well, I love Coach Cristobal, you know, and Coach Graves. I'm with him yesterday. I mean, that guy's unbelievable. You know, Coach Altman. I mean, there's so many. I mean, just the office next door only. I mean, they have so many national championships at the track and field office that they're tripping over them on their way to the get coffee in the morning. My God. And so there's really a culture here that it's a fun culture to be around on a daily basis. It's a reason to want to work here, stay here, and you just appreciate how awesome it really is. I think you can plan out the long term in terms of scheduling, but specifically, you know, when you're doing recruiting, it's today. It's finding the next player right now. And then it's about connecting with that player, his family, connecting with the people on the inside to where you can get the lean on that player. And if you really got your mind set on all the future kind of stuff, you start losing sight of right now. And that's all you can control right now anyways. And so, it's an appetite and an attitude that you see a lot with our coaches right now at Oregon. And I guess I'm glad to be mentioned in the same name as some of these guys.
Well, I think it's exciting for fans too, because the season's getting underway this weekend. That sneaks up on people a little bit. We're all, you know, we're stuck in this rain, kind of cold weather. Baseball season's here. So kind of walk us through the roster and that you had some time to get everybody going. The season's getting underway. What do you feel like the strengths and weaknesses are of your team?
I think there's some talent here. I think the talent needs belief, and it needs, true, deep belief in the fact that they can be real good. Because let's face it, you look at stat sheets, and there's no real program-wide success at the Pac-12 level. And so, you know, there are some clear, there are some guys on the roster that have had some success. But in terms of widespread success at the Pac-12 level, that's one of our weaker points. And so when you look at the guys that go out there on a daily basis at practice and scrimmages and stuff, a huge concern would be is if there isn't any ability out there, but that's not the case. We see guys with ability. We just need to make sure that those guys are developed to where they can have the confidence to walk into the Pac-12 schedule specifically, and even the non-conference, because, you know, even this first team that we get a chance to play, they've got a Team USA Friday night guy going against us in game one, and we're going to need to be able to match pitches with him on the first day of the season. So this roster, they just need to be groomed together to where the talent can come together. We can get them to believe in themselves with the right mentality. I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, this is first-year Ducks head coach Mark Wasikowski coming back, former assistant, then went to Purdue, turned that program around, and now he's year one in Eugene, their season kicking off, and sounds pretty excited about it. I am curious, your neighbors to the north have three national championships. Do you feel pressure in that regard of ultimately what you need to go get done?
No, not really. You know, there's other teams in our league that have national championships as well. That's not to diminish what the team up the road has done. Coach Casey has just done a brilliant job, you know, with that program at Oregon State. And I just tip my hat to him. You know, I coached the University of Arizona years ago when Oregon State was a grass field. And I remember before Friday night game, Coach Casey's diving on the quick coupler behind the dirt mound on the grass to try to minimize the flood that was occurring because the quick coupler blew. And you know, that's just the fact of what happened. And to his credit, he developed that program to where they've now got three national championships. You know, that's, for me, that's just a testament to him. You know, that he did a great job.
Yeah.
There's other schools in the league that have national championships. University of Arizona, I worked for 10 years. You know, great history there, Southern Cal. And now you see the excellence at UCLA. I mean, it's just an awesome conference. And so to point to just one school because of proximity would really diminish the value of the excellence of our league. And so, yeah, now it's our opportunity. I don't feel the pressure of it, but I do see that it's been done in our league. And so that means that it can be done again in our league by somebody, and why not Oregon?
Yeah, especially here in the Northwest. I did want to ask you, Coach, a tough kind of couple of weeks, I guess, for the college baseball world, the passing of John Altobelli and the plane crash. And I believe in your first year at Oregon, JJ was a senior, I think, in your first year as an assistant. You and your staff had the chance to go down to the service this week. I'm just curious if you could walk our listeners through what John meant to the college baseball world, your relationship with him, and just kind of some of the takeaways from what's been a really tough few weeks for your sport.
Yeah, JJ played at Oregon, was a member, and not only a member, but a starting shortstop on the best team since the program got brought back, the 2012 team that lost in the Super Regional final here at PK Park. JJ was a shortstop, starting shortstop on that team. And, you know, the tragedy in Calabasas with Kobe Bryant, the nine people that passed. So yesterday was the memorial at Anaheim Stadium, the home of the Anaheim Angels, you know, down there in Orange County. And I don't know an exact number, but there were over, you know, 10,000 people, most likely. The entire grandstands were filled on the entire left field, third base side. The outpouring of support for his family. There's deep, deep connections. The baseball community and it's just not Southern California. I mean, the baseball community, David Pierce was the last guy to speak. He's the head coach of the University of Texas. He was roommates with Coach Altobelli years ago at Houston. You know, Todd Whitting, Coach Horton. I mean, there were so many people that were at this event. Great, great baseball people at this event. Every program basically sent a representative or somebody. The head coach, usually, in all capacities, was from every program that I can think of was there. Every major league organization. These people meant so much to the baseball world. It's not a Southern Cal deal. It's a national deal. And even bigger than that when you attach Kobe and his excellence. But on an awful day because of the circumstances, an unbelievable day in terms of power and love that was felt while you sat there and you saw speaker after speaker go up there. And each speaker spoke on just the three Altobelli members. And, you know, for me, it was and so there were six members that basically weren't recognized in this memorial service. There'll be others as well. But, you know, every speaker that went up there, I mean, it was just really, really a tough, tough day, a deep day. And it just showed you how impactful this family has been to so many people, baseball and non-baseball people.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, the circumstances, but it's nice to rally together and you know, have that kind of love and that compassion and share it with one another. And it's really classy of you guys to go down there for that and share your kindness and your thoughts of the Altobelli family and everything they're going through. The Ducks are starting their season this Friday against Minnesota down in Tempe, San Diego, and Pepperdine as well. It's baseball season here in the Northwest. This was Ducks' new head coach, Mark Wasikowski. Coach, thank you so much for hopping on with us. Good luck at the start of the year, and we're going to have to bring you back on as the season gets going and start Pac-12 play.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you guys for the coverage, and I'm honored to be on with you guys for the good and the bad. And if anybody out there has the means and the interest, you know, the GoFundMe account for the Altobelli family that can be found on our page, goducks.com, or other places as well. If you have it in you and you have the means, please do help this family. That's just, I mean, just tragedy that's unspeakable still weeks after it happened. So thank you guys for the opportunity. Just thrilled that baseball season's here. Go Ducks.
Yeah, there you go. Mark Wasikowski, great stuff from him, and really emotional week for the program. I think that's one of those things you just remind yourself is all the others that were affected, and so much attention to Kobe. But the Oregon baseball family affected, and it was cool to hear the support, at least, and all the coaches around the country that showed up to the memorial service this week. And he said from every corner, every coach, and at every university, man, they were all there. He was a legend in college baseball in Oregon, clearly affected by the tragedy as well.
Well, and I think I hate to say this given the circumstance, but sometimes tragedy happens and it's amazing how it kind of it brings so many people together. And I saw that I didn't watch the service, but I saw a lot of pictures from the service. To have it at the Angels baseball stadium and for him to say that the whole lower bowl was filled.
That's pretty incredible, isn't it?
I think that speaks a lot to who the Altabelli family was to so many people. And again, you do not want to see that tragedy, but sometimes it's nice to see the impact that people make on each other's lives. You just hope that something like that happens when you're very, very old and gray and not tragically when you're young.
Well, and I think I saw earlier this week as well that George Horton, who was planning on retiring or taking the year off or whatever, he's going to go coach.
Yeah,
at the college that Altabelli
coached
at. To
do it for the Altabelli family.
Hey, I'm going to step in. You know, we want to keep this program going in his honor.
Classy move by Horton.
No doubt about it. College baseball's here. We're trying to get Mitch Canham on the show. We had a scheduling snafu. We were supposed to have him on today, but something happened with their practice schedule. So we'll continue to reach out as both their seasons get underway this weekend. It's weird because you look outside and you see the rain, but it is that time of year. Pitchers and catchers and college baseball season officially underway. Let's get to the most random rumor that doesn't seem to have any merit in the NFL that we've seen in a while. In Crunch Time, next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's Crunch Time, a look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, where during the month of February, they're teaming up with the Children's Cancer Association for every new member. For every new membership during the month of February, they will donate $5 towards the awesome cause, helping conquer childhood cancer one member at a time. I was at the Glorious House of Gains this morning.
I bet that felt good.
What was that in relation to? What did you say that about?
Sometimes I'm embarrassed that is a drop that exists.
Every time
I don't even remember saying it. Like, I don't even remember doing that.
I don't remember that.
I was here for that, too, and I can't for the life of me remember.
Remember what the hell he was yelling about?
I mean, I got, you know, things like this, too. I'm always like, why did I do that?
Birth kit skimfa.
That was a Yusuf Nurkic thing where we were trying to pronounce something, I think.
But why did I do it is what I'm kind of wondering.
Yeah.
I'd much rather us be a Peter Mutter Cups place.
Peter Mutter.
Yeah.
Peanut Mutter.
Hey, you're gonna mess up every now and then. You know what happens to the best of us? Tiger is on the course today. I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew about that. We got Joe's Plums coming up in the final hour. Also, have you guys seen the details of Mel Tucker's contract now that they're official? Can we talk about that?
It's very interesting. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yep.
I want to get to that coming up in the final hour. I enjoyed this storyline today, though, because we're already against it. I just wanted to get this in quickly. Did you see the random rumor that started spreading around the NFL that had no merit, but it got the wife of the player to buy in?
No.
It was rumored that the Lions were shopping Matt Stafford around and have been for weeks.
Okay, I'd heard that, but right? You said the wife. I didn't see the wife part of that story.
So that's how it starts. Like, this all of a sudden comes out of nowhere. You're like, wait a minute, huh? Like, they've engaged in trade talks surrounding Matthew Stafford for weeks, and they're thinking about taking a quarterback with the number 3 overall pick. It's a huge smokescreen that gets thrown out there, to which a lot of people respond like, wait a minute, what? From a contract standpoint, it doesn't make any sense because they got to pay him like $32 million against the cap next year, even if he's not on the roster. He has a wonky contract in that regard, so of course they're not going to trade him. But these rumors got to the point that his wife, who, by the way, glad to see she's doing okay. Didn't she have a brain tumor last year?
Yeah, she had a really big scare.
It was a real big scare, but yeah. I think everything's okay. Anyway, she took to Instagram with these rumors that came out and like posted things to her Instagram story. And the first one was a screen grab of an article that says the three most likely trade destinations for Matthew Stafford if the Lions draft a quarterback. And she wrote on it, well, if Detroit is done with us. And then on the next story page, it was a picture of the Chargers. and she wrote, I could stay in California.
Hey, Stafford on the Chargers is like an underrated sneaky
Not a bad
move.
Idea. Yeah. But again, so this was, I think it was Andrew Brandt who had this. And he
like
tweeted,
the initial report or?
So no. When it was like the rumors were circulating, he tweeted, any rumor of a trade with Matthew Stafford is pure folly. The Lions and the way they have structured repeated contracts have made him untradeable. Would cost them $32 million in cap room for him to not be there next year.
Yeah.
So it's not going to happen.
You would think
it was just a giant smokescreen, apparently.
Sometimes you're in a position where you're already like, maybe you're a little frustrated and you see something like that and you're like, oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
But you'd think somebody had been in the league as long as the Stafford family has with him being the quarterback, she might text or call him first, like, hey, there's no truth to this, right? Instead of just instantly going, oh, really?
We're going to California.
I had seen the rumblings that maybe they were looking to do it. And I was like, wait, I thought they were trying to go all in and win now.
Because there's rumors that they want to trade the number three pick. They want to trade out of number three because there's so much hunger for a guy like Tua. Maybe somebody wants Herbert. Like just a team that wants a quarterback, they could back up in the first round.
Yeah.
So I quite enjoyed that today, that it got to the point where the wife goes on Instagram and it's like, yo, yeah, we're going to Cali.
He might end up being on a different team too late in his career. But if Matt Stafford went to the Chargers, where would they be for you as a Super Bowl preseason type team?
I don't know how healthy he is. Didn't he have like back surgery last year?
Well, let's say he's coming into the year 100%.
They would be in the mix in the AFC. Would I take him to beat Kansas City?
No. Are they top two or top three?
No.
I'm presumably going Kansas City, Baltimore.
Kansas City, Baltimore.
Ben's back in Pittsburgh, so maybe by the Steelers could do it again.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson, Houston's always going to be in the mix.
But they got targets. Their defense isn't terrible.
I think they got some offensive line issues.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be a way for them to go. But again, it does just because of his contract and the way Detroit structured it. He's not going anywhere. It's just a smokescreen to try and get people interested on the number three overall pick.
By the way, listener says the I bet that felt good drop came from my jogging story. Now I remember it.
Oh, did it really?
I was jogging and a lady sprayed me with a hose and that's what she ended up saying. And I was like, what?
Did I just get sprayed
by an older woman?
I bet that felt good. That was what it was. Oh, fantastic memory from the listeners. Crunch
Who
time, bro.
Who does that?
You just spray a dude that's
just
running by you.
Strangers, come on.
And I'd never met her before and just.
Take it off.
Okay, all right. What are we doing here?
Oh, good time. Spring and Light. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness, where during the month of February, they've teamed up with the Children's Cancer Association for every new membership. During the month, they're going to donate $5 towards the cause, help them conquer childhood cancer one member at a time. Lots to get to in the final hour of the show. Harrison Barnes is doing something that I think is immediately going to backfire on him. We have some baseball rules to talk about. Mel Tucker is going to be making way too much damn money. Some poll questions to answer, and we got an edition of Joe's Plums coming up at 2:15. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.